as we approach Shavuos, it kind of becomes obvious to us that preparing for Shavuos is different than preparing for the other two of the Shalosh Regalim that we have. When we look at Sukkos, Pesach, there are a lot of mitzvahs, maisios, a lot of practical mitzvahs that we have to do and we need to get up to speed on. You have to learn the halachas of Sukkah, the halachas of Arba Minim. Pesach obviously has its whole world, both of the los aseh, the avoiding chametz, the aseh tov, of eating matzah, the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Shavuos, when we approach it, especially not in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, but perhaps even them, what are we preparing to do? On one hand, the preparation period is longer than any of them. Sviras HaOmer, when you look in the Rishonim, is a preparation for Shavuos. But we don't have the Beis HaMikdash this year. Maybe, hopefully, we will to have the korban of the Shtei Alechem, the special korban of Shavuos. It's called Chag HaBikurim. It's called the holiday of the first fruits. But it's important to realize that it's really the beginning of the first fruit season. In other words, not all the first fruits are ready. They become ready throughout the summer. And the process of bringing the Bikurim to the Beis HaMikdash went on all the way through Sukkos. So we do have a mitzvah, d'oraisa, of Simchas Yontov, of being happy on Yontov. See Rav Schoonmaker's book about that, in case you don't know what that's about, and you have to prepare. And spiritually, like every moed, you have to relive what happened then. There's the idea of Kabbalah Satorah. There's the idea of accepting the Torah, and that's something that happens again every year. Now, if we go back there, we can, on one hand, say, okay, we accepted the Torah. If I come this Shavuos and I say, you know what, I'm not accepting it, I'm still obligated. I'm in. So what is the net gain by my accepting again on Shavuos? What's happening? What am I trying to prepare for? What am I trying to increase? And how does the concept of Simcha of Yontov go together with the Kabbalah Satorah that I'm supposed to do on Shavuos? So let's take a look at what kind of saps our simcha when we approach the idea of Kabbalah Satorah. Kabbalah Satorah is a serious thing. That means accepting the Torah fully in all of its aspects. Chazal tell us that Am Yisrael went through Geirus at Matan Torah. They went through the conversion process. That process is a frightening process when you think of it. I heard somebody, I was present a couple of times when a person went through their final stage of Geirus before Tevilah in the Mikveh, and they have certain questions that they're asked. Do you accept upon yourself all the Torah Shebichsav, all the Torah Shebaal Peh, the authority of Chazal, the Halachas and Minhagim of Am Yisrael? And the person says yes, and once that's in forever. That's a very powerful, powerful process. And Am Yisrael went through that process as a nation at Matan Torah, and we're supposed to go through that process again every year. There's actually a Hasidic Rebbe, they would call him the Yehudi HaKodesh, the Holy Jew. Why do you have that name? Because they said, every day it was as if he was Misgaya. It was every day as if he woke up in the morning as a non-Jew and took it all on again from the get-go. That was the Yehudi HaKodesh. But we're supposed to do it at least on Shavuos. But that voice inside my head says, do I really mean it? I mean, I've had a lot of Shavuoses in my life, and I've messed up many times after Shavuos. It kind of echoes the same feelings we have approaching Yom Noroim. Rosh Hashanah, I accept the Malchus of Hashem totally. Yeah, but didn't you say that last year? Did you really live that way? Right? Yom Kippur, I ask forgiveness for all of my sins. I do tshuva on all of them. Yeah, but every year you repeated a bunch of them. So is it just another in our series of fake-outs? Does it have meaning if that voice is telling us those things? So we can find some comfort in the fact that it's been that way from the beginning. The Gemara in Shabbos, Peches. On one hand, the beautiful, beautiful response of Am Yisrael to the idea of accepting the Torah. Dorosh Rabbi Simoi, b'shosh ikdimu Yisrael nase l'nishma, when Am Yisrael said that formula, Naseh v'nishma, we will do and we will hear. 600,000 malachim came to every Jew, kosher lo shneksoim, echad keneged nasev, echad keneged nishma, and attached them two crowns, one according to corresponding to nasev, one corresponding to nishma. Amar Rabbi Lozer, Rabbi Lozer said, b'shosh ikdimu Yisrael nasev le nishma, when Am Yisrael used that phraseology, Yotza Baskel, a heavenly voicing came out, Migilo Lebonai Roze, who revealed to my children the secret, Shemalachi Asher is Mishtamshim Bo. This is the language that the Malachim use. A Malach exists for its mission. It's always in a status of Nasa because that's what it's created for. All it needs to do is to hear what that mission is. Am Yisrael place themselves in that same status as Malachim. So that's all beautiful. But we also find the following. And this, again, is pointed out by the Talmud Rebbe in a few shirim that he gave. Tilim, Perakayin Ches, Sukim Lamed, Gimel to Lamed Vav. Vayifatu befihem, uvilashonom ichaz vulo, velibam lo nachonimo vlo nemnu bivrisa. And it goes on. Vayichaz vuloshon of kozov is falsehood. They were false with their mouths. With their tongues, right? They seduced him with their mouths. Means they said something to convince him, which wasn't true. They were false in their tongues. Their hearts were not true and straight with him, and they weren't loyal to his bris, to his covenant. Who are we talking about? Am Yisrael et Matan Torah. Says the Tosefton Bava Kama. So we find Shal Yisrael Omdim al Har Sinai, when Am Yisrael were standing on Har Sinai, Bikshu Lignov Das HaElyona. They were trying to trick Hashem. Gnevas Das is when you cause somebody else to believe something about you which isn't true. Shenemar, because they said, Kol Asher Diber Hashem Nasev Nishma. They made that great declaration, Nasev Nishma, and it looks like it worked. And it seems that HaKadosh Baruch Hu fell for it. Because he says, the Torah brings in Parshas Veschanan after the second description of Matan Torah, I wish that their hearts will be forever like they are now. Right? Are you going to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't know what was going on inside of them? David HaMelech revealed that he did. Am Yisrael were saying something that they weren't 100% with. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu honored them, gave them crowns, valued them because of that. A stronger lashon, Shmos Rabbo, in the Medrash, Rabbi Meir Omer, Hayu Omdim B'Sinai V'Amu B'Fihem Nasev V'Nishma. On Sinai they were standing there saying Nasev V'Nishma, V'Libom Hayu Mechuvan L'Avodazar. But their hearts were thinking about Avodazar. Shenemar vayfatu b'fiim. They seduced him with their mouths. Why would we say such a thing? We see the results. The Chet HaEgel came not long after that. If their acceptance was so 100% total, what happened? There had to have been a weakness there in the beginning. So on one hand they were saying that. On the other hand, it says their hearts were thinking about Avodah Zarah. How can this be? How do we solve this riddle? We celebrate what Am Yisrael did in receiving the Torah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu rewarded them for what they said in receiving the Torah. Nonetheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who sees all inside a person, saw that they weren't 100%. That part of them was looking elsewhere, even to the extent that could lead to Avodah Zarah. So the Zohar HaKadosh says that there are Asara Amokim B'Lev HaAdam. There are 10 levels of depth inside a person, and probably all those 10 levels can be subdivided. Omek Lifnimi Omek. Depth within depth within depth. We are very deep people. We are very complex people. We're not one-dimensional. So that a person can really have two different thoughts going on at the same time, and they can both be legitimate. This is something the Rebbe pointed out from many, many, many different angles. One halacha he uses to illustrate it is the halacha that if a person had someone close to them pass away, and he's told about it, so there are halachas of making the bracha, Baruch Dayan HaEmes, and tearing kriya, tearing the clothes. The halacha says that if at the same time the person is informed that the person left them $10 million, he makes the bracha of shechiyonu, or hatovu meti, depending on the situation. So if we play that through in our head, you know, you have this rabbi, let's say, coming to inform the person, I'm sorry to inform you that so-and-so passed away last night. person bursts into tears, says, I'm going to guide you through the process, right? You'll say the bracha baruch dynamis, you'll tear kriya, and you say, and he left you $10 million, right? And the person's going to say, you think I'm thinking about money at this time? Say, ah, there was a phone number you have to call within 24 hours to a lawyer to get it, but I'm not going to bother you. I didn't say entirely, right? So is the person, what is the deal? Does he not care about the person who passed away? He does. Does he not care about the money? He cares about the money as well. So what is he? He is someone with two tracks going on. And Chazal validated that by the halacha of making the two brachas. A bracha on Dayan HaEmes, a bracha on the simcha of the money which he received. And both of them can be real and both of them can be legitimate. So here, Am Yisrael are people who have two things running in them. But it changes in terms of percentages. Something can be primary, something can be secondary. Something can really be there in most of your heart, but in one level in your heart, there's a weakness which isn't there. And then sometimes it comes out depending on the situation. The Yerushalmi, Masechet Shkolim, Am Rabbi Abba Bar Acha, Inat Yochol Lamed Al Ofyo Shalom Azu. You can't figure out the character of this nation. Nidboin LaEgel Benosnim. They do a collection, a campaign, let's build an Egel, they give. Nidboin LaMishkan, they do a campaign to give to the Mishkan, they give to that too. Who are these people? The Kotzke Rebbe used to phrase it in Yiddish, he would say, Amench is Amenuta Malach, Amenuta Galach. Meaning one minute you can be a Malach, an angel, the next minute you can be a Galach, which is a priest for Avodah Zarah. And both of them are real. It's not that it's a fake. In fact, the Malach is more real to who we are. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at us and he sees the desires that we have that are positive. He sees our approach to Shavuos. He sees that we want to accept Torah. We want to learn Torah. We want to understand Torah. We want to live Torah. We want to learn Al Menas Lasos. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu rewards us for that as he rewarded Am Yisrael at Har Sinai. They received that reward on Nasa V'Nishma. But when it came out and the foundation cracked because of that weakness that was in there in the initial lack of commitment, they were punished for Cheta Egel. Now, how is it that a person is not self-aware enough sometimes to see what's happening inside, to see that contradiction to what he's saying, what he's committing himself to? So Rashi points it out, right? And the certain danger that a person at a time, a lot of times a person doesn't think he thinks he's totally there, he's totally with the program. If you mention to him, you know, it might come a time that you're going to, he says, please, are you kidding? But that comes from a certain over-enthusiasm that can sometimes be dangerous. We had two givings of the Torah, the Luchos Rishonos and the Luchos Shnios. So Rashi points out, he says, Harishonos, the first ones, Al Yedesha, Hayu B'tshuos, V'kolos, V'kehila, the first Matan Torah was a big event. That was something that shook the world. There were all sorts of sound effects, there were all sorts of special effects. The whole world knew about it. Sholto Behen Ayin Ra. There was the power of Ayin Ra. Ayin Ra is a power to be able to emphasize the negative in something, to bring negativity into something. And this was a weakness in that Matan Torah, so it didn't last. And it hit the Chet HaEgel, and we needed another one. When we look at take two of Matan Torah, Chazal said, Ein lecha yofa min atznius. There's nothing more beautiful than modesty. Matan Torah, the second one, was very quiet. No big flashes, no thunder, no lightning, no kol ha-shofar. Moshe Rabbeinu went up, got the second luchos, brought down, started learning. That one lasted. So Zvasemis asked the question that probably we should all be asking. He says, V'kosha lama lo nasan afrishonos betzina. Who was the party planner for Matan Torah? It wasn't us, it was HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He did that. So if Chazal are saying Tznius is much better, and we see it here. So did HaKadosh Baruch Hu get it wrong? Right? Should he have done it the other way? And in fact, we celebrate that first Matan Torah on Shavuos. You know, right? The celebration of the second one is on Yom Kippur. Very different type of celebration. So the Svasemis explains. He says, B'vadai shneim tzrichin. You need both types of things. He says, Lulei hislavus hakodem bepirsum lahaya achakach yicholo leilich bedarch yatznias. Unless you have that huge bang in the beginning of excitement, then you cannot continue on. You don't have the staying power for the long road of things which have to be done more quietly. V'zeh limud b'doros. He says, this is something that you have to learn for all generations. B'tchila tzarech lios b'islavus otzum. In the beginning, you should be with tremendous enthusiasm. V'im ki lo yen nishar zosa islavus. Even though it's not going to last. Davar shel kayama. It won't be always the same. Im kozeh ha'etzah limei ha'irida. That is the preparation which is necessary for days when things are going to go down. So this is something you have to understand when you meet that cynical voice, right? A guy comes to yeshiva, right? It's the beginning of a new zman, and his eyes are all shining when he's holding his gemara. He says, I've been wanting to come to yeshiva for so long. This is the dream of my life. I'm going to get to learn Torah every day. Guy who's been here for a while says, yeah, I was like that too. Right? You know, it's like, right, it lasts for a bit or something like this. You know, it happens at a wedding, you know, the chassan and keller all googly-eyed and all these things, and there's that old guy at the Sheva Brochas. Yeah, me and my old lady were like that too. All right, you know, you're going to end up like us. Right? You'd rather play golf than talk to her. You know, it's going to happen. What do you expect? So again, does that mean, right, that we should not have those beginnings, that excitement which is there? No. He says that is what's supposed to fuel you for the future. That's what's supposed to enable you to be able to go through those times which are there. But at the time that you're doing it, you should be self-aware enough to realize that in my time of enthusiasm, things might not always be like this. I might not always be like this. Right, there are things that are going to happen. There are things going to go down. I'm going to forget what I feel. I'm going to be tested. And if you have that self-awareness at the time of the enthusiasm, it shouldn't dampen the enthusiasm, but it should make that enthusiasm something deeper and more lasting that will be able to deal with it. The Mechilta of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai said the following. In terms of accepting Torah, Hashem said, "Im mekabli matem onshim besimcha. If you accept the punishments of the Torah with simcha, hare atem mekablim schar. You will receive reward. V'im lav, hare atem mekablim pur onus. If not, you receive punishment. V'kiblu aleim onshim besimcha." So they did this action again, whether it was full or not. There's an idea of accepting the punishments with simcha. What's the idea of accepting punishments besimcha, as part of the Torah? Why is that important? There are punishments, and at the time, the person doesn't want to think about punishments because he doesn't want to think about doing anything wrong. He just forged a covenant with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What's going to go wrong? What's going to happen? But a person has to realize that they're human, and that they will be tested, and that they will have times in which they go up and down, even to the extent that they will do things wrong, and to be able to appreciate that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created systems in place to enable you to repair yourself, purify yourself, return even after the worst falls. If a person really cares about what he's accepting, he can even accept that aspect of the framework with simcha. And this is part of the extra aspect of Rus. When we read the Megillah of Rus, as many communities do on Shavuos, so there are a variety of reasons for it. Part of it is that Am Yisrael went through that Geirus, they converted on Shavuos, and we learn a lot of the important halachas of Geirus from Rus. The Gemara in Yevamos tells us, "Vatera ki misametzes ilalechesito." Right. So, when Nomi saw that Rus really was going along, didn't want to give up, she started telling her a variety of things that are forbidden to Am Yisrael. Right. All those wonderful lovey-dovey psukim, "Where thou goest, I shall go." Chazal put teeth into those. Right, she told him, "Asur lan tchum Shabbos." Right, there's limits to where you can walk on Shabbos. She said, "But teilechi elech, where you walk, I walk." "Asur lan yichud," we're not allowed to be alone with a member of the opposite gender. "Basher tolin yolin," where you sleep, I sleep. "Mvakdim et shesh mas yud gimel midos," get 613 midos. "Amechami," your people are my people. "Asur lan avoras kochavim," avoras zaris forbidden to us. "Elokai chelokai." "Arba misos nimtzru lebeisdin." There are four death penalties which were given over to Beis Din that are sometimes applied if a person transgressed some of the mitzvahs. She said, "Basher tamusi amus," where you die, I die. Shnei Kvarim Nimsru LeBeisdin. Beisdin bury among the Arba Misos Beisdin, so two of them are buried in one part of the cemetery, two in the other, because they're for different levels of averus. She said, "V'shamek aver." That's where I'll be buried. That's where I got to be buried. That's where I'll be buried. So the Shem Shmuel says, here we see what was unique about Rus. Because again, there were many converts in Am Yisrael, many who also left comfortable lives and positions, as Rus did, to join Am Yisrael. But Rus was the one that David HaMelech came out of. Rus is the one that Mashiach comes out of. So this is what he says. He says, the Tam, and for this, he quotes his father, he says, the reason for this is because Nomi told her the four misas of Beisdin were given over to Beisdin, and she answered, where you die, I die. She didn't say, well, I'm not going to do anything that gets me to get killed that way. Right? She said, of course, I'm not going to do those averes. That's not what she said. Mekabelas al atzma, she said, im bishvil gerusa, if because I now took on Judaism, and that makes me obligated in things I was not obligated before. And he's galgul le'misos beistin. And it could be I'm going to do something that will cause me to be executed by beistin. It's worth it for me with that as well. Kedai lo li'os yehudis. And this rotzen, says the Shem Yishmol, that's a rotzen which is deep. B'tachlis omek ha'lev. Deep, deep in the heart. B'nekuda ha'pnimis, in that inner spot. She b'chino yichido. A mystical term, that's where she really connected to the source of all things. And therefore, she connected to that so strongly, she was able to bring out David HaMelech and the Mashiach. This idea that a person is really there for the commitment for the long run, taking into account that I may mess up, taking into account that there's a system of onshim here that may come upon me in order for me to be purified and to be able to continue on. And to accept it even ad kedei kach is important. There was recently someone speaking about, unfortunately, sometimes there are scandals that occur in the Torah world. Sometimes even a person of great Torah knowledge falls to something. And someone was speaking about why he was confident that his Rebbe was not susceptible to that, why he knew that his Rebbe did not have any such downfalls. He said, why? He says, because my Rebbe honestly believed that he was capable of the worst things in the world. He felt honestly he was capable of murder, of adultery, of robbery, and he was always working each day to make sure that those things wouldn't happen. That's why I knew that he wouldn't be like that. He had it in mind. He says, I'm a human being. Those things could happen to me. The Torah has those things there. I could do those things, and I have to always be on my guard and always working. That's a commitment that comes with the idea of reality. A person who thinks, I love Hashem so much, of course I wouldn't do those things. You know, I've accepted Torah, I know Torah, all those things, that person's in danger. Because you have many, many layers of depth that you yourself don't know. And know that you don't know. A person who knows that he doesn't know can at least be on guard and can be strong and try to be prepared in the right way. So as we approach Shavuos, so what kind of Kabbalah Sator are we looking at? It's supposed to be joyful. The joy comes and can coexist with the aspect of fear and seriousness that's there. And the way in which we can try to express it a little bit to make it real is to try to accept something upon ourselves. And again, this concept of doing it bli neder is a wise thing because that does show respect for the Torah's words. But still, to try something very small, very small. Rav Olba says that's the only way a Kabbalah should be taken. Something very small that I want to change this year. As we say, a person has depth upon depth upon depth upon depth. So just like last year, my Kabbalah Sator was not 100% total. Because I see the results in this year as it was. But I can move it forward. I can change the percentages. I can deepen that commitment. I can try to make it real by some small thing that I commit myself to do and to be able to move on. And then I can approach HaKadosh Baruch Hu knowing that He sees all of me. He sees who I am. And He values my desire to do more and to do better and to do the best I can. He has his understanding of my weaknesses, and he values the fact that I'm honest with myself about my weaknesses. And with that, a person should be able to walk into Shavuos in the right way. So now when we look at the 49 days of preparing for Shavuos, it looks like a fairly short time, right? If we just had to prepare for what bracha we make on cheesecake, we could do with less. But this type of Kabbalah Seter is something that really takes a lot of introspection, a lot of thought, and even some practical steps to get ready so that we can stand there together with all of Am Yisrael and to the best of our ability, Yal Nasa V'Nishma.